We're gathered here today to remember the life of Roger Dale Reeves and also to draw near to the Lord to find hope and comfort and encouragement from His Word and from our faith in Jesus Christ. I want to read a few verses of Scripture and then we'll hear some music. And we'll pray together. Psalm 124, verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Deuteronomy says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Psalm 103. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. And then several verses from Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live.
When we first meet.
Lead us in prayer, and then when I'm finished praying, I would invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer along with me together. And just so you know, in our church, and the way Roger always prayed it was, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and that's the way we'll do it today. But let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you are God. And you are a prayer-hearing and answering God. And we come to you, Lord, with our prayers, our tears, our cries today. And we thank you, Lord, that you hear us. And that, Lord, you hear us with a desire to help us. And I thank you that you are that present help in time of trouble, in time of need. And so, Lord, would you comfort this family today? Would you be near to them and allow them to feel your holy presence, to know, Lord, that underneath are your everlasting arms of love. And, oh God, help us all today to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who went before us. He, too, died, and he rose again, and all who believe in him will also rise again. We'll follow him into that place, that throne room where God himself is enthroned, and the angels and all the saints praise him, saying, "Holy, holy, holy." So, Lord, we ask for your help and your presence today, and we make our prayer in Jesus' name. And we pray now as he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Just wanted to say a few words, and after I say a few things, share a few thoughts, I'm going to ask an elder in our church to say a few words as well. But after hearing about Roger's passing, one of our former members, Bet, you probably remember Tim and Anna Phillips, and Tim went on and is a preacher today, but he sent me an email, and he said, I'm so sorry to hear this. I remember Roger well. And we can all say the same thing. We were very sorry to hear about Roger, and we're very sad about it, and we are very much going to miss him. But we can also agree with the second thing that Tim said, that we all remember Roger well. If you met Roger and had a conversation with him, you would remember it. And you always learn something that you didn't know if you spoke with Roger, because Roger knew things. And he was glad to share those things that he learned. He read a lot. He read scripture a lot. He read a lot of books. And he always had some interesting facts to share. Bits of information that most people did not know, including his pastor at times. And I wasn't aware, for example, of the fact that he shared with me one time, did you know that the church door in Wittenberg, where Martin Luther was supposed to have nailed his 95 theses, that door was made of brass, and there was no way Martin Luther could have nailed anything into a brass door. I didn't know that. But I found out from Roger. But there were those life stories, those experiences, of course, that Roger shared many times over sometimes. And anyone who's heard those stories, and you probably heard some of the stories that I'm about to tell you, but one of those was, they were true stories, but the one when he was in a car wreck and the car caught on fire and he had to escape through the rear window of the car, and he felt the hand of God pulling him out of that wreck. And no one can forget the story, of course, of how Roger quit smoking. You might try this if you are wanting to quit smoking, but Roger decided to quit, and he would carry around a single cigarette in his front pocket. And whenever he would feel the urge to smoke it, he would pull the cigarette out and look at that cigarette and stare at it. And he said, "Who's bigger, cigarette, me or you?" And then he would put it back in his pocket. Finally, he didn't need it anymore, and he was able to quit. So that was good. Of course, most people that knew Roger knew that he had a problem with seizures for most of his life, for much of his life. I didn't realize how those actually started. Evidently, it was connected with a time when he was a boy riding his bicycle when he ran into a telephone and had a good knock on the head. And at some point, he began to have the seizures and was on medication the rest of his life. And we're thankful, of course, for a lot of the treatment that he was able to have and control them for the most part. But, Roger loved a lot of things. He loved Westerns. He loved to watch and read Westerns. He loved his cowboy boots, cowboy hat, which are in the coffin with him and will be buried. He'll be buried in and with those things. Of course, he was a coin collector. He collected knives. He loved knives. He loved to sharpen knives, and he sharpened knives for friends and for anybody that would ask him to do so. I remember a time when he was in the worship service, and he had his whetstone out, and he was sharpening a knife, you know. And it wasn't a little knife. It was a little bit bigger knife, you know. And a few folks in the church were a little uncomfortable with that. And, especially if they didn't know Roger. But so we had to tell him not to do that in church. But if you needed a knife sharpened, he would do it. And he loved to fish and hunt, especially going with his dad trips when he was younger. And he did work a job, driving a forklift, evidently working with Sonny, his future brother-in-law. And that's how he and Sheila met, was through Roger. And that's a great story in itself. I didn't realize that he had played the saxophone, was in the marching band in high school. And he served as an usher here in the church. He also was a Sunday school treasurer for the men's class for many years. He liked to have that money and to count that money. He took good care of those offerings that were given by the class. But, you know, we would all agree there's never going to be another Roger Reeves, and we are very much going to miss him. I'm going to ask our elder, Mr. Carl Rudolph, just to say a couple of words from where he's sitting in the pew back here. So, Carl, if you have a few thoughts you would like to share, I would appreciate it.
This is a sad occasion, but yet it's a great occasion. And because Roger was a member of this church for many, many years, an original member with his mom, and that very faithful and everything. Roger, as the pastor says, had a lot of things to say about a lot of things. I enjoyed him so much. And the story I remember, pastors told all the other stories, but he came up to me, "Do you know how many rocks are in the pyramid the great pyramid in Egypt. And I said, no, I don't have any idea. Someday maybe we'll get there and be able to count them. I know my daughter was there and saw the Great Pyramid. Did you count the rocks? Well, you missed out. Roger knew somewhere he had found that view. So we'd always chat together and everything. And he was always a pleasant person to be with. Really, thank you for Roger. He was a great delight. I can remember years ago, of course, I was raised in a Christian home. My father was a very faithful man to the Lord, and I thank the Lord for him and my mom. But I was not a Christian for a long time. I was in my 40s, I believe, before I started to wake up and to see what was going on. And there I learned about myself. You know, where it says in Genesis, don't eat of that tree. Well, Eve said, I want to talk to this beautiful snake. And that just didn't click in my head. I don't ever think I could even if it had legs, I wouldn't call it, think of it as being beautiful. But can you imagine the snake conversing with Eve? And then, of course, the temptation and eating of the fruit of that tree, and then the whole, as far as I'm concerned, the whole world collapsed because we are all sinners. And Roger knew that. He made a statement of faith when he joined the church. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Word of God? Do you believe that you're a sinner saved by grace? And so he knew these things in his heart. I had the great pleasure of going by to see them from time to time and read Bible with Roger and discuss some things and talk about the church. And we always had good things to say, didn't we, Ben? Always good things to say about the people and how wonderful they are here at Unity Church. And I thank the Lord for you families and people who are involved in the church and the kids growing up to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't wait like I did, because it's you begin to see too much of the world. And the way the world's going now, anything is almost too much. And I was so glad that Dr. Fucci said I can go without my mask. Oh boy. That was yesterday morning. No, this morning. This morning. So now we're set until we can't, we have to go back to masks. The poor people that make these masks are going to have a hard time making ends work. But we just thank the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one to whom to turn to. As Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me, which is through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. If there's anyone in this room that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not ready to die. You need to know the Lord, because any moment you could have a terrible, I will say, we could die just with one breath that will never return, and that could come at any moment. So make sure that you know Christ and Him crucified. Make sure that you are involved in reading the Word of God. That's so important. Make sure that you follow the things that the Lord has taught. It's just so wonderful to be involved and have a pastor to preach the sermon, and so faithful to the Word of God. That is what I look for, a person that is very faithful and careful about how he interprets the Word of God and then how he applies it to our hearts to think about this, and that offers the knowledge of Christ and Him crucified. And always, always includes the Lord Jesus Christ as the center focal point. And that's all that we can expect. So I thank the Lord for being here. I thank the Lord for Roger. I thank the Lord for Beth. Going to their house was just a pleasure for me, because you'd hear things from Beth, and it was wonderful. You have a great, great family, and I'm so glad to see you. And that's a blessing in itself. But make sure you know the Lord. Now, I'm going to go out this room about committing your heart to Jesus. I want to tell you, it's a crushing thing to know that you're a sinner. You go to Genesis chapter 5, and all you read is the great ones that lived. He lived 100 years. He lived 80 years. He lived 600 years, so and so. And he died, and he died, and he died. And he died. All these things are in the Word of God. All the way from there, then you go from Old Testament church and you see all the history of how the Lord planned everything. And he came just in time, because there was nothing hardly left of the church, Old Testament church, until Christ came and stirred up New Testament church. And started that, and what a history that is. But I thank the Lord that we can go, and we're studying the book in Revelation in Sunday school. And there you see the final end of all these things. And it's going to come soon. And the prayer of Old Testament church is, come Lord Jesus. The prayer of the New Testament church is, come Lord Jesus. And the prayer you'll hear in this church, and probably, I hope, in the church you go to, come Lord Jesus, and the answer is always, I am coming soon. Make your hearts open and ready to see, so that you will never be afraid to die, as the Word of God, so that living and dying, we may know that we are thine. So I pray that the Lord would bless you. Beth and Sheila, and we just thank you for Beth and caring for Roger, and now Sheila, you're caring for her, and that's a wonderful thing. And that verse in that part of the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long. And you've had many long days, and a wonderful journey it has been. And now Sheila is caring for you and helping you. And I tell you, Sonny, thank you for being a good support. And the kids, it's just so good to see you and to be a part of your family. I just love it. Well, when I was in Florida for quite a while, we ended up in a Dutch church. And that was very interesting. I was their only outsider. That's what they called if you weren't Dutch. And there I learned a whole new system about church work goes, and I hear wonderful messages from the Word of God. I can't remember how many years we went there, but I'd say about 10 or 15 years we were in that Dutch church. So I thank the Lord for that. And I just, in the Dutch church, and Ben, I'm going to give you this sheet when I'm done. I was taught Heidelberg Catechism. Now, the Baptist Church, the old catechism of, 1600, Fifth Philadelphia Catechism? I can't remember the date of it, but there was an old date, and that is a powerful catechism that the Baptists had for many years. Well, I'm just going to read this to you, because it has always been a blessing to me. We had to memorize this, but, you know, ages really caught up with me. So I'm going to read it. What's your only comfort in life and death? That's the question. And a Dutch church, they would preach Heidelberg Catechism one service. Preferably it was either morning or evening, whichever the church chose. So they had 52 Lord's days, and this was always one of them. Year after year, we hear the same thing, different views of it, though. Here it is, only comfort in life and death, that I am not my own. Well, this would help, wouldn't it? I am not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood, and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things are must work together for my salvation. Therefore, for his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of my eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. So that this is going to be yours. It's from a weak person that the Lord has saved. Is that wonderful catechism. And I thank the Lord that these things have been said down through the years. I can't remember when that catechism was written, but it was years and years ago, and still hold very true to the things of the Lord. So I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful family. What a joy to be with you. And place your confidence in him. He will never leave you or forsake you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, boys, for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carl. Yeah. In John chapter 3, we read these words, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I was able to speak with Roger briefly when he was in the hospital, and he had a moment of clarity and was alert and able to converse a little bit. It was hard to understand, but you could make out what he was saying. And I asked him if he knew who I was, and he said my name, so he knew who I was. But I also asked him if he remembered John 3:16, and he nodded his head, and he proceeded with a tear rolling down his cheek to quote that verse from memory, as many of you could do today. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." You know, there's so many things to experience and enjoy in life. And, you know, someone might have looked at Roger's daily life and said, "Well, Roger didn't have that much of a life. He didn't go that many places or do that many things, at least after a while." But in the end, I want to ask, what is it that makes life worth living anyway? And I would suggest to you today that the only thing that really makes life worth living is to know that you are loved. Is to know that you are loved. And I believe that it's obvious Roger was loved. He was loved by his family. He was, of course, not always easy to love, just like you and me are not always easy to love. But they looked after him, they cared for him, and certainly his mother was always there for him. Roger was certainly loved by his church family. But most of all, Roger was loved by God, because as a believer in Jesus Christ, we can say that God loved Roger before the foundation of the world. We can say that God predestined him in love, as Ephesians says, predestined him to be redeemed by the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And God says in Jeremiah 31:3, "I have loved you with an everlasting love." And so God loved Roger and every believer, but God loved Roger when he sent his son to die on the cross for Roger's sins. He loved Roger day by day as he watched over him in his providence and took care of his needs until the very end. God loved Roger, and God, of course, is showering Roger with his love in his presence even now. As you and I know, John 3:16 is the most familiar and well-loved Bible verse in all the world. And people have said it's really the heartbeat of Scripture, and I agree with that. It's been called the greatest verse for a number of reasons, but it starts with God, who is the greatest being, and then it goes on to love, which is the greatest affection, and God so loved, which is that he loved to the greatest degree. He loved the world. This verse shows us that in love, God gave the greatest gift ever given, and that was his Son. And that Christ himself gave himself the greatest sacrifice the world has ever known. And of course, in this verse is also an invitation. Our elder Brother Rudolph gave an invitation already, but this verse also gives an invitation, the greatest one ever offered to man, and it ends with the greatest promise of the greatest deliverance, that you should not perish, but inherit the greatest blessing, eternal life. So there's a lot in that verse, and really it sums up the gospel quite well. And it is about God. God so loved the world. God himself, the creator, the sustainer, the reason we're still breathing and our hearts are still beating is because God keeps them beating. God made us and he keeps us going. And he's the same God. God the Son became flesh and came into this world, born of the Virgin Mary, as we know, suffered for our sins. He came to a world that was lost in sin. He came to a world that was unlovely and really unlovable. You know, if God loved a godly and righteous people, it wouldn't be such an astounding thing, but that God would love sinners, that God would love the unrighteous and the ungodly, that is amazing grace. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God loved a world of sinners. Why did he do that? Because God is love. Do you know the love of God for your soul? Now, when we really think of it, we all know that we're unworthy of that love. But the point is that God loved us anyway and gave Christ as a substitute to take our place, to take the punishment that we deserved. And that tells us something, that salvation or eternal life is a gift. It's not something you earn. I would never say at a funeral, not Roger's funeral, not anybody's funeral, what you might hear at some funerals, and that is, if anybody's in heaven, oh, so-and-so is because they lived such a wonderful life. No, no one's in heaven because they lived a good life. They're only in heaven because Jesus lived a perfect life and took our place and saved that person's soul. Now, we serve the Lord and we do good things because he has saved us. That's for sure. But the gift of God is eternal life. If you have not received that gift, then you need to. It's free. It's available to all who will call upon the Lord. It's the greatest gift you could ever receive. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You can know for sure that you are saved by calling on the Lord. You have to personally call on Jesus Christ to save you. It doesn't just happen because you joined the church or were baptized or whatever. You must personally go to him and ask him to save you, to forgive you, to come into your life and take over your life. Jesus, again, in the Gospel of Matthew says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you eternal rest. Now, that promise is good for every day of the Christian life, not just for salvation. And so, Bet, I would encourage you, when you feel weary and heavy laden and sad and discouraged and worn out, Jesus says, "Come to me," when you're weary and heavy laden. And Jesus says, "The one who comes to me, I will by no means cast out." And so the Lord will always, always take you in when you come to him. And if you know the Lord by faith, then you can have that blessed assurance that Carl read about, the assurance that God is yours and that you are his. I want to close with just a couple of verses from Romans 8. It says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so if you've been joined to Christ by faith, if you know him, then nothing can separate you from the love of God. There will be no graveside service today. There will be a private family gathering later on today, I believe. But I'm going to close in prayer. The family will be out in the lobby. You may speak to them again if you wish. But I'm going to close in prayer and have a benediction. And we'll say goodbye to Roger.
Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit come and minister the grace of God to each and every one of us, especially this family. And may, Lord, their hearts be filled with the knowledge that your will was done, Lord, in bringing Roger into this world, but also taking him out of this world. As with Job, Lord, we would confess that the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We rest in you, Lord. We commit this family to you. Thankful, Lord, for your mercy and your help. In Jesus' name. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.